Welcome to Crest in partnership with Elusive. Producer Dodd here, introducing our Spring 25 episode. I'm sure all our British listeners know, but it's been a poor run of surf. There's still a few talking points, though, especially the prospects of Wales' own Patrick Langdon Dark in the Caparica Surf Fest, which starts tomorrow on the southern, beach-break-rich coast of Lisbon. PLD will be seeded through to the round of 64, so it's likely to be Wednesday before he takes to the water, and when he does, what a few heats it could be. At the time of speaking, he's eighth on the European QS, which, if sustained past the Caparica event, could already be enough for a berth in the Challenger Series later this year. With this in mind, we've got Tom and Logan Nicol together for a chat, and Pat's prospects in Portugal are pretty much top of the bill. We promised to clarify his requirement for you, and guess what? It's complicated. Depending on which existing CT and Challenger surfers need to use their seeds, either 7th or 8th in the Euro rating could be enough. I'm sure PLD will be shutting out the noise and just trying to win some heats to put it beyond doubt anyway, and we'll be rooting for him to do so. Also in this episode, Tom and Logan cover the recently held Wilkinson Sword, a quick check-in on the Surf Diary discussion, and finally, a pretty thorough breakdown of the whys and hows of surfboard fin use. That's a topic we'll revisit again in future, as we know listeners are keen for advice on this one. Anyway, here we go. Tom started by asking Logan about the Wilkinson Sword, held at Fresh West in March, and at which Logan, despite previously saying he would surf for Channel Women, represented Channel Coast. Enjoy.
I can't believe I didn't know you'd gone to that. Yeah, I haven't seen all of
it. There was a couple more people down there as well.
Yeah, I wasn't able to go in the end because I'd made the same mistake that I think Rob has made today, which is looked at the surf forecast, decided it definitely wasn't going to happen, and arranged to do something else. So I was taking my daughter to Wales against Kazakhstan that night in the Cardiff City Stadium.
That's fair enough.
Good win for Wales.
Yeah, nice.
And Rob's done the same thing this weekend, so apparently he's out in Pembrokeshire somewhere camping. He's gone to Scomer Island. I think he's on a date.
That's cool.
So I promise not to say anything about it. But obviously...
Now you have,
yeah. Now I have, yeah. So good luck, Rob. And if you're listening, Mystery Girl, be warned.
Good luck.
you have been warned.
Yeah.
So what was it like down there? The conditions were good. I mean, what a manoeuvre by Pembroke Surf Club to suddenly call it in Fresh, so everyone had decided there wasn't going to be waves. But they'd been surfing all week, hadn't they?
Yeah, I'd been down there the previous week on like similar conditions, and the bank is really, really fun, like in like the little gap bit down there. And the waves were really fun. I think everyone had a good time. It was like the sun came out halfway through the day, contestable waves. The annoying thing is you're going down for one heat, aren't you? So I think everyone, it would be nice if that event was a bit more of like a comp.
Tournament format in some way.
But then at the same time, they come down this way, don't they, for just one heat. But yeah, it was a brilliant day. Like, it's one of those ones where it's nice to see everyone. And
they come down this way for one heat when they're not the reigning champions, which they are again now.
Yes, they are now, yeah.
Well, can you see past Pembrokeshire Surf Club for the next couple of years now?
Well, I was down there, like, on the sand. It looked like LBR. I thought I had LBR in for the win, and they got last. I think that was lacking a good representation in the juniors, and I think a couple of the women's categories they missed out on, but I thought they were surfing really well, so it was a bit of a shock to me, but they might do it again.
12,500 points Pembrokeshire Surf Club, 11,000 Channel Coast, that was you guys, and then 9,250 Welsh Coast, and actually LBR were quite a way behind 7,500.
I didn't realise it was that big of a difference. We were quite close then to Pembrokeshire. I think if we'd filled a couple more categories and had wins in them.
Who was in your heat?
I had Ollie Tom. Oh no, I had lad from, obviously, one from every club. Yeah. I can't remember the LBR guy's name. Tom O'Leary from Porthcawl, and one of the Buick brothers, I want to say.
Oh,
it was Arthur in my heat.
Interesting.
It was good, it was tricky, high tide fresh.
Couple of standout surfers for Pembrokeshire though, Smith, I'm guessing.
Well, no, he didn't win his heat. Elliot Barton beat him.
Oh, did he?
Surfed really well. I was really impressed by Elliot. His backhand looked really good. And same for Ollie Tom Evans. Bentos, Adam Jenkins.
I heard.
Ripping. Yeah, he's surfing really well. So I think it was good to see everyone kind of like debut ready for the Welsh. And I think there'll be some good showings on when it runs.
And then there's been, yeah, the Welsh is off.
Yeah.
Now,
should be on right now.
Yeah, last year we kept on going, right, we're going to record a podcast once the Welsh runs. And then in the end we went, hang on, it's November.
Yeah.
And we've been saying that since April. So this time round we thought, right, we're going to record a podcast. If the Welsh doesn't run, we're going to record instead of the Welsh.
Yeah.
So that's why we're here. Right decision, obviously, to call it off because it's completely flat.
Yeah, it was the right decision. Right?
I think the Instagram said, didn't it? Good weekend for skimming stones.
Yeah.
And are you here for the May Day dates?
I am, yeah. I was looking at booking to go up to that Scotland wave pool.
Oh,
yeah. I wanted to go on that date, but yeah, I've postponed that now to the next bank holiday, which will probably next be
the Welsh.
But yeah, the Welsh on, but I can't just revolve my life around this contest being postponed.
Do you know if Patrick's around for it?
I would have thought he'd be back. I don't know, obviously, what happens in this next event. That could change things. He might be too big for it then.
He might be, yeah.
I wouldn't bet. He's probably too big for it now, to be honest.
More on that shortly, yeah.
But I think he is available, like, from what I can... You know, if I was to, like, stalk his schedule, I can't see any reason he wouldn't be.
And you'd want him to be, defend you?
Yeah, 100%, yeah. Like, he was here last year, but only for the one day.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty crap spring for surf, hasn't it? Since after a good winter.
Yeah, I've struggled. I think we've already struggled. The numbers have dwindled on my my tally.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been hard. I don't know if you've got in much. But...
Well, yeah, we'll have a quick check-in on that because we made pledges, didn't we, the last time we recorded a podcast. What did you say you were going for? Can you remember?
I wanted to surf every day, so 365.
365.
And I'm going to have to catch up quite a bit if I want to.
Do you know what you are at the moment?
Yeah, I've got it in my notes. I'm not sure my total numbers, but... I think March, I surfed 9 times.
So I know Cindy and I promised the same thing, 183, but Cindy had said she was going to have 20 swapped for another exercise session, and I said...
That's clever.
An indefinite number, so it's just 183 exercise sessions.
Yeah.
I'm not doing very well. My surfs is about 7 a month so far, so I'm on something like 20 plus.
That's me.
Okay, wow. So January 29, you've got 20 in February, you've got 9 in March.
It's bad.
But you've managed to surf twice in April, so that's out west, I'm taking it.
Yeah, was down the Gower. Yeah, down the Gower. Yeah. Managed to squeeze 2 in, but yeah, it's been pretty hard.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're way behind. You're not going to get to 365, though, now. Surfing twice a day.
Yeah, not with that. I'll have to up my surf, which is doable. It's happened before, like, had months where I haven't surfed and then caught up.
But I did get to my... 10 surfs every single month of the year that I promised I was going to
do
last year.
Did do it.
I managed it in December and November. Got pretty stressful. But I realised the reason why I'm never going to try to do that again, because I got to 132 surfs and the target had been 122.
Uh-huh.
So I beat that by 10.
It's good,
right?
That's really good.
Which is fine. But I was thinking about it this way, right? On 6 different months last year, I only got 10 surfs.
Mm-hmm.
Which technically would mean that for that goal I set last year... That makes 60 surfs from last year, surfs where I had to go in or my whole year's goal would have gone down the pan.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
I've got you, yeah, yeah.
Whereas if I make it 122 and I got to 132, then it was only 10 surfs that you absolutely needed to go
in. I know,
one surf or whatever. You know, it's a stupid way of playing with numbers.
Yeah.
But it did mean that I ended up at the end of several months, like we laughed about it before. I think in May, I think I went in at 5 a.m. 3 mornings in a row.
Scraping it.
In 1 foot surf. But not doing too well on the surfs, but so being doing a lot of running or going out on the, you know, doing anything else other than
enjoying the weather this.
One highlight, the one person who did have a pretty good start to the year, we should have a quick shout out to Lucas Skinner.
Yeah.
Injured again now.
I know, yeah.
But
how good is his, like...
That wave at Pipeline.
Crazy,
well, back door.
Mm. On his last day there or whatever, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah.
Or he, like, extended his trip or something.
And winning the, you know, the World Juniors or the Grand Search, whatever it was, again in Bali.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot. Yeah, forgot about that. His trajectory is just nuts, like, just crazy, isn't it?
Flying.
He's achieved so much already. So.
Yeah, and that, I suppose, links us through to who we're going to talk about next a little bit, because last year... The highlight of the British surfing year was also involving Lucas, and that was that Boardmasters final.
Yeah.
Him and Pat, first ever all British Boardmasters final. And actually, as things stand since then, although Lucas got the 1,000 points that day, it is now Pat sitting in 8th position sitting in 8th position on the European QS.
Yeah.
Challenger Series. we're not totally clear, are we, exactly how many surfers...
Yeah, the waters are a bit murky.
...will qualify, whether it's six, seven, eight,
I'm pretty certain it's seven with a wild card. That Stab article made it really unclear as to what was going on. But there's still, we know for a fact there's still another event that has to happen before it's decided.
Caparica.
The year that Pat finished, because Pat's finished one outside of it before.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first year when it was 10?
Yeah, he got into two, didn't he?
Maybe he was one or two spots outside.
Yeah.
He got some wild cards. Well, he got like on the waiting list for comps. He got into two or three, I think.
He got Belito and Brazil.
Belito and Brazil, and he went to Portugal, waited for it all day on the beach and didn't get in,
didn't he?
So I'd like to think if he could just maintain that position,
he'll get in one or two.
I'd be surprised if they don't give him a wild card, but or maybe they won't. I don't know. I think he deserves it. He's deserved of a wild card, or at least he'll get into some event, which would be really good.
This is potentially the big talking story in Welsh and indeed British surfing.
Yeah, for sure.
Over the next month, now we're hoping that we'll have this out in time for you to listen to it before Pat goes. Best of luck to you, Pat. 9th or 10th, I think he's leaving, is it?
I think I've heard the 9th, but again, not from him.
And I believe the event's the 15th onwards in Costa de Caparica, the south shores of Lisbon, between all those groins. And
he's just been out there. He's just come back.
Went out there for a trip.
I saw him the other day and he said it was like, really worthwhile going out there, getting used to the bank. There's a good bank there, apparently. Good right-hand bank at the minute. Like a draw or change, but...
Oh, on his backhand.
Perfect for his backhand.
And he's been surfing here. He's been going out west, has he?
Just down Gennif, he's sort of, like, local. Still getting in, keeping...
Now, I kind of hope Pat's not listening, because I think he wants to shut out the noise. I hope that is what he's doing. Because he's just got to concentrate on it. In a way, it's quite a nerve-wracking position to be in, where you're pretty much there, and I suppose it's kind of his to lose in a way.
Yeah, for sure. I think he probably feels that there's a lot of people with like crossed arms looking at him, like, oh, I wonder if,
here we go.
And it's almost so easy for people to go, a Welsh person was never going to make it, and I don't blame him for just shutting out the noise. And
I mean, he's got just looking ahead of him. So Pat's on 3,050 points. He's got. I suppose within sort of spitting distance, Diago Dominguez and Charlie Cuivron.
Yeah, because what's that? What's 100 points is probably like another round or
in a 3,000, it's a round or so. Yeah,
it's a round. Yeah,
later into the event.
Yeah,
And then you can make 500 points in a round at the very back end of the event. The differences between sort of fifth and second and things like that. Really closely behind him, Nicolas Paulet from Biarritz, only 20 odd points behind, or 21 points behind. And then there are a couple of other French, Raynon Granville and Luan Nogues, whatever you call him, just behind.
He's pretty consistent too.
And they're good surfers, aren't they? You were saying that we've seen Nicolas Paulet surf quite a bit, and you kind of feel like Caparica in him.
I just know Portuguese waves are so tricky to surf.
Yeah.
I'd much rather be in Pat's position than I would be like rather be chasing. All Pat has to do, I think, is like his normal QS surfing, which is just make a few solid rounds, could get a good result, and he doesn't need a spectacular result. Those guys behind him, they need a result, don't they? So
they need something.
As long as Pat just keeps getting through rounds, doesn't have to win his heats, just surf like he normally does. I think he's got a really good chance.
And I saw him bash up a couple of really big right handers on his backhand on Instagram within the last couple of days.
Yeah, he's ripping
down in Caparica.
That was Caparica. That was the bank they'll be on
for
the heat.
Huge turn. So if he can stick a couple of them in.
I'm not sure what this flat spell's doing down there. I don't know if.
Oh, the sand moves around.
Well, just in terms of like, they obviously had swell. There was storms when they were out there. I don't know if the comp's small, does that bank change? I'm not sure, but he's pretty versatile in most waves.
Can we talk about his fitness as well? Because obviously he pulled out of the Welsh after the first day.
Yeah,
it's a back injury. Is that now coming back together from what you know?
We surfed pretty soon after that. I think that was just a precautionary thing of like, why would I risk hurting myself? I think there was an event straight after it or something like that.
Yeah.
So from what I hear, he's training loads in the gym. He seems fighting fit, so there shouldn't be anything to stop him in his tracks.
Oh, great.
Seems all good.
And then just looking at some of the other.
I'm talking on his behalf. He might be silently struggling, but he's seen fine when I've seen
him. The other thing that's really important as well is the surfers that have got throwaways, haven't they?
So
Pat has got one very low result, the 33rd from Lacanau.
As a 1,000 as well.
Yeah, and that was only a 1,000. This is a 3,000, so he's beginning the event on more points.
He'll already go up, but so will everyone else.
Yeah, will he be seeded into the 64, I guess, would he?
Yeah, he's straight into the 64, yeah.
Yeah. And
Which is tricky because you don't get any momentum
through
the event. You've potentially got people who have entered late who come up through, you know, earlier heats, who have like surfed the bank. They know that.
Yeah.
So like it is like a bit of a nerve-wracking round to
be forced
straight into, I would have thought. I've never like...
Yeah, and a couple, of the, really,
through, but be,
couple of the really dangerous Europeans. I mean, you know, you never know. Someone like Ramsey could suddenly decide he wants to do the event. And then
Frederico,
all of a sudden there he is.
You know,
yeah.
Like, there genuinely are people. Frederico, in fact, I'd be surprised if
wasn't
he doesn't...
Wasn't it Frederico knocked Pat out last year at Caparica, if I remember?
I know they had a heat. I can't remember the details behind it.
Yeah, they did. And I think Frederico posted a couple of
He knocked me out. I know that. I was in a heat with him and he did me pretty good.
Yeah. Are you planning to do any... You'll obviously go to Newquay this year for the 25 to 26 season.
Yeah, for sure. I sort of saw the end of the season as like, there's no opportunity for points. I'm really gutted I missed Morocco.
Right.
The waves. Did you see the waves? Anyway?
I did.
Unbelievable. That final. Have you seen clips of the final?
Yeah.
Just they're my two favourite surfers on the QS as it is.
Yeah.
So I would have loved to be out there. And like, I think that wave would have suited my surfing. But I saw the rest of the QSs as like... I just lost every round of the other one, so I wasn't that bothered about going out to try and get points and surf usually marginal waves. Unfortunately, Morocco wasn't, but I had other plans. So yeah, I'd like to start in Boardmasters and maybe do one other. So if Morocco runs again, I'll do Morocco and just choose one to do.
Not the French beach breaks in the summer then?
No, as much as I love it, like, I really enjoyed those events, I don't think I'll make it out.
They're quite tough, like the travel and finding places to stay.
For me, it's the cost, like the expense is just...
Getting from where you stay to the shoreline without like getting ripped off of parking spaces.
But it's such a good event. If I had more support, I would for sure do them. But in my position now, I'm just happy to do a couple events and hang out with the boys and
And we'll have a quick look at some of the other Europeans then. I notice as well, I'm assuming Yolanda Hopkins, who we've had on in the past, so they'll get in automatically.
She's automatically
from the European places.
Yeah, Challenger
on the
Series.
Challenger Series, right. Okay.
I did see a list of this somewhere. I can't remember where I saw it, but I'm certain, because she was only one spot from CT qualification, wasn't she?
Yeah. And it hasn't quite...
And Kiki, Frederico, he'll qualify automatically from the CT because he was CT.
I see.
His start of the year was on the CT, so...
And it hasn't quite come together for Alice Barton, has it? Or in fact...
No, any of the other...
The British girls.
Yeah, I think they haven't had the best time. Alice has had a couple of right events, but not like... I think it's just those like pointy end rounds. They struggle to like crack them and get through.
Yeah.
It seems with the women, there's such a cluster of just... girls who excel every single contest.
Yeah.
The same names are at the top all the time. Whereas with the men, it seems like people can break through and have some.
The one name that comes to mind there is Tia Zabrowski.
Yeah, crazy, isn't
that
she?
That is really something at her age now to be... Well, she's in for the Challenger Series. Yeah. She's already in
her first ever...
Second in Portugal as a wild card.
She's unbelievable.
That is...
Have you seen her surf in the flesh?
Yeah. She was
in Boardmasters.
She won Boardmasters, didn't she? It would be very rare we say this. Is that European world champion, world title contender material? Again, I hope... You're not listening either, Tia, because you're a teenager. We don't know too much pressure on your shoulders. Yeah. But
I think
it's okay for us in the surf media to speculate here.
Yeah. I've just heard on a podcast that she signed with Rip Curl till 2028.
Right.
So they've obviously seen a big future in her. So if that's not pressure enough, a 4-year deal or whatever.
Yeah.
She's got to be up there for a world title.
Is Lucas still with Rip Curl as
from what I know, I'm pretty sure I still see a sticker on his board.
Two... really hot European prospects coming out there.
Definitely for CT prospects.
And
Pat here in Wales can be up there on the CT,
And get well soon, Lucas, on the leg. And Pat, we're going to play him out with the big men of Harlech at the end of this. keep these fighting words before ye and all those lyrics and all of that. Hope you're not listening though, Pat, so you don't know, but
good luck.
The best of luck. And now there's the one other thing I was going to say. If you're watching the Challenger Series, I keep saying Challenger Series. If you're watching the rest of the last event of the European QS in Caparica, we've been told that apparently we'll have an email on Monday telling us the exact maths behind it from the man with the plan, Rob Gunning. Now, whether or not producer Dodd is willing to try and stitch that into the show if it arrives late on Monday or not, who knows? So it might not be with you. But it's worth keeping an eye on when people get eliminated, whether they get eliminated in third or whether they get eliminated in fourth.
Yeah, and who's looking good on those early rounds. If you see someone who's ripping, it could be worth to look at there. Because like Kai Odriozola, he's pretty far back. He's got, I think it's like every result is 25th.
He's 14th with 2,400 points.
He's just got 25th. Yeah. From what I looked at, did he win Board Masters a couple years ago? He's so good. So is his brother. So there's people like that that could just, you know, they can bunny hop a good few people and they can come from nowhere.
He's 600 points behind Pat and was on the Challenger last year.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out for him there either.
No.
But I think, again, a huge prospect. Okay, that's fantastic. Well, we're trying our best to encourage. We'll be trying to cover it through, you know, Instagram. So the 10 or so people that see Crest's Instagram. Now that Mark Zuckerberg hates our algorithm, we called him out for surfing, pay to play surfing out there in Hawaii, you know, on his with his crew or whatever, his stunt crew. But and he didn't like it, so he's blacklisted us. But never mind. And
that's fine.
We'll be promoting it, but it'd be nice to see like Wales getting behind and watching those heats.
Oh, 100%,
when they come in,
get on the comments. And
if we get a Welsh surfer on the Challenger Series, there's no question that is
unbelievable,
by far and away the furthest that any Welsh surfer has.
Yeah, in modern times, recent times.
Since there's been a Challenger
Series. It's the only person. And he's like been really close before. Yeah. He's been in some events, so he's got the talent, he's more than capable.
And if I was you, then I would be sitting there watching him and going, I beat that guy.
Yeah, but it gives me a bit of confidence in my own surfing ability at least. Yeah. And
I used to do that with Tim Bowl when he was on the tour. I used to, every time he, in the end, it became a bit of a joke. Anytime Tim Bowl was in a heat, everyone would go, hey, haven't you surfed against him before?
Yeah, I beat him.
Yeah, but obviously it's because I was years older than him and he didn't get outside. But there we go, Lakenau, 1990.
Just a little growing in
the inside. Age away. There we go. Right, lovely. Well, the one other thing that we've promised we're going to have a chat with, we'll keep it relatively short. So this is a single commute download, so you can drive to work listening to us rather than having to drive to work and back listening to us. Dodd, producer Dodd, has begged me to ask you about this while you're on. And you might know nothing about this whatsoever, but we promise we're actually going to talk about this in a bit more detail. We do get a lot of listeners asking us about fins.
Oh, yeah.
So this is going to sound like a complete sudden sidestep.
Uh-huh.
This came about because I've literally got two new surfboards that I'm about to deck grip up and go and ride. And I'm taking fins out of two surfboards, de-waxing them and taking them off to sell them, putting fins into two new ones.
Yeah.
And Dodd was doing the same with a surfboard. And in the summer, Rob borrowed a surfboard off me. And it was my Groveler board, and he jumped on it, and he said, oh, this has got really stiff fins. And I said, you what? And he said, these fins are... No, he didn't say stiff. He said, they're loose. This is horrible. You need stiff fins.
Yeah.
I said, stiff fins on a Groveler board. He said, no, we need stiff fins. And it just made me realise that I don't know anything at all.
You're a lay person when it comes to fins.
So, question one, are you a lay person when it comes to fins?
More recently, I've zoned out of like being as much of a geek when it comes to my fins. But I definitely have been down the rabbit holes. My best friend Pat is down the rabbit. He loves fins. He like messes with his fins all the time.
Does he?
And recently, I've just found a template that works really well for me. And I've kind of got a couple of fins that I like, and I just switch between them depending on how my board feels. So if I get a new board, it feels a bit loose. I've got a fin that I know will like make that board a little bit stiffer and maybe give it a bit more drive.
And what are these fins?
So I ride FCS. Right. Pat rides Futures. So.
Yeah, I'm Futures.
You're Futures as well. So, like, with FCS, my kind of, like, carvier fin is the McFannin.
Right.
It's, like, the really famous black and white fin. That is, if I'm going to, like, pumping waves, or maybe a northeast trip, I'll put them in my board, because you're guaranteed to get a nice bit of hold. They're from, like, the Carver family, so they are a carvier fin. My fin at the minute that I love, especially for our waves, Gabriel Bodine has just come up with a fin.
Right.
And from my knowledge, from my, like, geeky Instagram zooming in on people's boards, he used to ride performers. So my theory is that these are just like a big performer, which is like an all-round, they're not too raked, they're not too upright, they're just like a middle of the run fin. They work really well for around here.
Okay.
Oh, hang on, here comes producer Dodd.
Rake, yeah.
Explain.
Rake is like, from what I understand, how far back the tip of your fin is
from the point where it enters the board.
So if the tip of the the fin is right above the bottom of the fin, there's not much rake. It's quite an upright fin. If the tip of that fin is further back, I'm using all my hand movements, I understand. No one can see my hands. I'm trying to describe it as best I can. If there's like a bigger arc and the tip of the fin is further back from the base of the fin, there's more rake in the fin. And a rakier fin will give you, it's sort of more surface area of the fin, I would imagine.
In the water.
Yeah. So you're pushing off a bigger surface, which from my understanding makes, draw your turns out a little bit
drive
more.
And drag.
A lot of drive, yeah. More surface areas, more drive for sure.
But that would also be drag.
And drag, yeah.
Because drag's not always bad, right?
No, not at all. If you're using your fins, if you're pushing off your fins, so generating speed, where you're using your equipment for your speed, a bigger fin is better, in my opinion. So my grovelers, I use big fins. Those Gabriel Medina fins I just mentioned, you can get an extra large size in them.
Mm.
So they're great for small waves. And then bigger waves, from what I understand, the outline of your board plays a bigger role. So like you've got a pintail in your bigger wave board.
Yeah.
So people will put medium fins, smaller fins in their big wave boards, and sometimes more upright fins because the template of the board is doing more, and those bigger fins can stiffen up your big wave board, which is counterintuitive because you think you'd want bigger fins for a bit more hold, which is true up to a point. And I find that, like, I'll put my bigger fins in my boards if I'm going into bigger waves, but that's because the outline, I'm trying to ride my normal short board that I ride in Rest Bay in waves of consequence.
Yeah.
So I add the fins to those boards to make that board feel
which also, if we sidestep for a second, riding, if we don't ride waves of consequence that often,
yeah,
it is a better idea to try and step up in our boards that we would use here.
Yeah, just get a different set of fins. It's a much cheaper option. Honestly, it is.
I remember back in the day having these guns, you know, when people believed in guns.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd go into Indonesia and you're going in the gnarliest surf you've ever seen.
And you've
seen
never
in your
surfed
life,
that board
on a board you've ridden three times.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is stupid.
You would never do that anywhere.
I remember Rhino used to go in Rest Bay on his 6'9".
Just to feel it out.
You know, before he went to Indonesia or something. And I never actually did that. So in the end, for years, now I would come across heavy waves in Indo and I would go in on my round pin.
Yeah.
5'11" that I would surf here.
Have a good wave board here. Yeah. But you're probably not going to have, like we had a recent swell at the northeast where I paddled out on my 6'2" and Sandy was on like his, well, he was also on a 6'2", but he's a lot shorter than I am. Yeah. Ollie Adams was like, I'm on a 6'5", I feel undergunned. And I was just on my normal board, but I felt so much more comfortable on a board. I've surfed loads of times, but I did have a bigger fin and I put the McFannins in that board. Whereas normally, because that's a pintail, I'd ride a performer template, which is like just a more all-round fin that makes the board nice and loose. So that's my sort of like understanding of fins, and that's how I go off it, is how my board feels initially. So I'll just use my normal fin. If it feels really loose with it, I'll put the McFannins in.
Okay.
If it feels a little bit less loose, I'll put more.
So I want to try and see if I can take forward any advice that a listener can pick up on here now, right?
Yeah.
Are you saying that, because at the moment what I've got two different fins and two main boards, right?
Yeah.
And I never would mix them. So I got a pair of Asher Pacey fins in my good wave board, and I've got a pair of John Johns in my bad wave board. And the John Johns are the ones that Rob criticized. Oh no, it's the other way around, sorry. The Asher Pacey's in my groveler.
Yeah.
These are the ones Rob picked on and said, oh,
the John Johns are known as quite stiff fin, aren't they? They're like real stiff and
maybe I should be changing them around. I should be putting the stiff ones in the in the groveler. The looser fins, these Asher Pacey's in the good wave board.
Yeah, for sure.
Based on this,
they're expensive. Fins aren't cheap. They're like you're spending over £100 for a set of fins. So I understand not everyone can have 10 sets of fins, but I'd say if you can, and I don't think it's unreasonable for a surfer who surfs often to have 5 sets of fins,
right?
With varying sizes.
Yeah.
Because often I'll put 2 large fins in the side of my board.
Yeah.
A medium fin in the back, and it's not as dramatic as a 2+1, but it gives you that sort of skatier feel of your board. You've got more release out of your tail because you've got that smaller back fin, but again, less drag with a smaller fin. So I do think having like a quiver of fins, because they last you way longer than a board do.
But what you're saying is
cheaper than a quiver of surfboard.
What you're saying is with any given surfboard now, you're suggesting that a surfer should think about the waves and then think about what fins they're going to put in.
Yeah,
and change the when you see the waves change. You change the fins.
There's a lot of surfers. It's to just have either one board or two boards. They've got their Goodway board and they've got their Groveler.
That's what I do.
And the fins, you can stretch.
I have got other boards, but I barely use them.
Yeah, you can stretch your Groveler out into a much wider variety of conditions, either by putting a 2+1 setup in, which I've done that. I remember watching Ruben Ash and Joss Ash. Yeah. Both of them had their JSs, high performance short boards. They both had 2+1s in down in Newquay. I think it was when the night surf was on or something.
Right.
And they both rode it in heat with 2+1s in a shortboard. And you'd never know, but the feel that they're getting under their feet is much more conducive for small gravelly waves.
So you do that in very small surf, would you?
Small surf or just... It's just experimenting, really. Yeah. But I do remember Pat telling me a story. He was in Portugal. They were getting coaching from Richard Dogmarsh.
Yeah.
And Pat loves experimenting. So he had two large John Johns in and he had a medium in the back. Richard Dogmarsh went through and went, mate, what are you doing? He said, these companies spend thousands on R&D and you're f***ing it up. He's like, oh, so he just put his normal fins back in then. So. But don't listen to him. Don't listen to that.
Yeah, but he's from the 90s, Dogmarsh,
yeah, exactly,
isn't he?
Exactly.
He's from three to the beach. Yeah. Three, you know. Yeah.
So, Logan, speaking of R&D.
Yeah.
What the hell are these things?
Oh, Dodd has just handed Logan a pair of fins, which he's found on one of his boards. And they're very strange, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to name them. Or is there a name on them? There isn't. They've got a flat tip. So where the tip goes, that
it's
looks,
like a bit of concave.
It looks like someone's snipped it off.
Feel that one?
It is a slightly concave thing. Hang on, here's the name. Oh, it's called Made from Recycled Fishing
Nets. The Alpha Vector 3-2.
The Alpha Vector 3-2 Futures.
Futures, yeah.
I think that looks like a gimmick, don't you? The fin I'm holding, yeah?
Yeah, so I can only go off my experience with FCS, but these look quite similar to the H4s. I don't love that fin, but dad likes the H4s. And they're kind of like a... These are pretty raked. You can see like the tip of the fin is further back in the back. But they've kind of cut the end. If, imagine like the tip of the fin is round. They've cut it off.
Yeah.
And it's squared off. So I'm guessing they're trying to get like a bit of... You're trying to get that rake and a bit of release out the tip of the fin. But I'm not really sure. And the way the water curves around that might impact you. It's more feel. You didn't like them.
Odd.
But you did have an opinion on them and they felt different to your normal fin.
They felt really... This is what I consider to be a normal
fin. Don't know if listeners can hear what Dodd is saying here. He's holding another type of fin.
He's obviously
the wrong side of the studio.
They're awful.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
And that's preference. There's... is it Carlos Munoz? Do you know him? He was sponsored. He got paid, I think it was $100,000 a year by... Is it feather fins? I can't remember. And they were the wildest fins. But this guy paid for these fins to be put in.
He looked good in Barbados the other day, didn't he? Yeah.
Good, isn't he? Yeah. But this guy paid for them to be in like not a like an aero chamber, but the same thing for water.
Yeah.
Hydro chamber, I don't know. And apparently they were more what's it called, streamlined than regular fins. And these fins were aquodynamic. But yeah, there's so much to be said for fins. The best thing is get a normal set of fins and just branch out from that and see which kind of way, whether you like a kind of carvier feel. If you're a bigger guy like myself, I'm heavier, I do prefer a bit of a bigger fin that just reacts a bit better to my weight.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, slighter surfers might prefer a little bit more of an upright fin. So just experimenting.
So this is I want to try and get, like I said at the beginning, something for a listener as a piece of advice then, right? So we're saying, don't play the fin to the surfboard, like... As in, don't have a surfboard that's got one set of fins.
Yeah, play it to the conditions.
Play it to the conditions. So you've got your surfboard, and then you treat your surfboards across a wider range of conditions. Mm-hmm. Then you look at different conditions, play around with the fins.
Yep.
Now, would the simplest way, if you can't be bothered to get around learning what rake is and whatever else it all is, would it just be, before you put a pair of fins on, read the blurb from the website?
Yeah, read the blurb. And
so you just go on Futures or FCS, read what it says this fin's going to do, like you would before you buy a bottle of wine or a pot of coffee or something.
Yeah.
And then you try that against that surfboard in whatever conditions you want to play with.
Yeah, and look at what surfers you like they're surfing. And look at what fin they're riding. Because it is... You watch someone on a twin fin, and it's the fins. It's a twin fin. That's the whole board is around what fins are in the board.
Yeah.
Because those fins make such a big difference. So what the surfers are riding, if they're riding a fin you like Mick Fanning, his fin is conducive to carving surfing and flowy surfing. And that is what you end
what
up
you
kind of...
Do.
Yes, what you want to do. So
that's
worth a...
Do you think that...
To be said as well.
One last question coming from Dodd. I don't know if you can hear it.
People reading the blurb on websites.
Yeah.
About what the fins are supposed to do. And to be a bit realistic about what the actual own abilities are.
Of course. That's the same with boards and everything, isn't it?
Those fancy fins are supposed to give you, you know, a bit of extra power, but then a bit of release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, all I found is I couldn't turn me wrong.
Well, yeah. Surfing, cycling, golf, and apparently the world of guitars as well. They're all these millions, as Dog Marsh puts it, on R&D.
Yeah.
A lot of that is for people with disposable income.
Yeah. Or, you know, or the pointy end of surfing who can really feel the lift in their board and the, you know, the flex of their fin. I feel the flex of my fins. I definitely feel if I'm with a stiffer fin than I am with a flexy fin. But with your, judge your level of surfing, what can you already feel in your board is what you're likely to feel in
a different we're going to play out here with, I'm going to give you three sets of conditions.
Mm.
And I'm just going to tell you to give us a fin, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to start with, we're going to say that we're surfing on a rounded squash tail surfboard.
Yeah.
That is your stance. So we're not going to change the board now, right?
My normal
shortboard. You're on your normal board.
Yeah, I can picture it. My green rail.
You're on the beach for the day. You've gone over to Skae or something, or to G-Bowls. You've stuffed your board in the sand. You've only walked over with one board, right?
Yeah.
And then the swell changes during the day, and so does the wind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're there. You're on your standard rounded squash, which is what most surfers are
that's what my shortboard is.
Here we go. Okay, right. So you get there in the morning. It's really pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice and long period, though, but it's coming through real small. We're talking knee-high, but like knee-high rippable peelers, and it's a very, very, very strong offshore.
Mm.
What are you going to put on that board?
I would probably just put the Medinas in, because I know the fin. I know I can get enough drive out of them.
So the Medinas are stiff and big.
They're pretty big, they give me drive, but they're not super stiff. They're pretty manoeuvrable, and I think in those small waves, I don't want a fin that's going to create the arc of my turn to be too big, because the waves don't allow for that. So that they're upright enough that I can turn the board enough, but they've got enough size on the fin that they drive down the line enough.
Okay.
So that's why I go for the Medinas.
Okay. What happens next is it does one of those, like it does in Billabong Challenge when J-Bay jumps 6 feet in the last hour. You come in, you have your lunch, and oh, whoa, look at this. Pumping, and in it comes, right? And you've suddenly got, the wind drops too, and you're now looking at just overhead, head and a half, absolutely as good as it gets, bending in A-frames, there's fast sections and all sorts. You've still got that same surfboard. What are you doing to the fins now?
Yeah, I would definitely change them, because I do this anyway. I would put the McFannins in. Anything above head high, usually I'll put the McFannins in, especially my normal shortboard. Just add a bit of drive, a bit more hold. It's going to draw my turns out on that same board enough to be noticeable and give me a bit more hold.
Now, these Fannins are smaller though, right?
No.
The Medinas.
They're both larger, so they'd both be the size large.
Right.
The fin might be slightly different, but the key is they are more raked, so there's more.
And they're both size large, as in within the fin company would call them size large.
Size large, yeah.
Okay.
I think they are slightly different construction than the McFannins.
Right.
I think I've got the.
So what's the difference? The McFannins are carvier, the Medinas are snappier.
Definitely carvier. The Fannins I'm using at the minute are all fiberglass. They're a fiberglass fin.
Right.
And that's like a really nice balance of flex. It doesn't ping you out of turns like maybe a carbon fin would, but it's not super like forgiving. So that, yeah, I'd go for the fiberglass McFannins.
So you go up the King's Head, you have a bit of food.
Yeah.
I know you're a healthy living man, right? but you get persuaded to have one or two Gower Golds and a big huge burger, and then Pat says, hey, stay over, don't bother going back to Penarth, and you don't, and you stay over. So you've still got only the same surfboard, and the next day you wake up a little bit groggy from the night before, the tide's going out, surf's dropped off a fair bit, it's now down to waist to chest high, and it is howling side on shore, lumps all over the place. But Pat's training for Costa de Caparica. He only had risotto and a couple of glasses of water in the pub last night.
Mm.
So you've got to get out there and try and see if you can shred an onshore crap with him.
Yeah.
Now what do you do with the fin?
For argument's sake, to actually change the fin, I have this fin set quite a lot, especially when I just want to go and have fun. If I am feeling like maybe a bit like I've surfed loads and I'm a bit, not bored by surfing, but I want to feel something different in my equipment, I go with the AM template, so the Almeric template. I put two larges in the side.
Right.
I'm yet to do this with the Medina, but the Medinas now, they've got that extra large. So I want to do that. I put two larges in the side, and I'll put a medium Merrick. I find it works really well with the Merricks. that Merrick fins, because already if you just put a large set of Almeric fins in your board, the two side fins are bigger than the back fin.
Right.
The centre fin is significantly smaller. So if you put a medium Merrick in, it's quite a lot smaller than the other two.
Right.
So I do two larges, one medium, and it gives you that like slightly skatier, looser feel. They're still a nice raked fin, so you're going to go down the line nice and quick.
And you can react to a change in section, so your bottom turn, and you've got to suddenly pull out of a lump and through another lump. And
But then when you want to drive, you can get onto your rail fin, the fin that's on the side of your board, and get a lot of speed. So I do that.
I love it.
Especially through the summer, I do that quite a bit.
I don't know if the music is there in the background yet, but I did think of one more question. But I'll do a proper radio style. I want a 20, 30 second answer to this one.
Yeah.
How much does it matter if these precious fins have now got a little scratch on them or a bit of damage from some rocks? Do you need to sand them off? Do you need a new pair of fins, or what do you think?
It doesn't matter too much. It depends. If you can see the inside of the fin,
we've just been shown a damaged fin from Dodd.
I'd still be surfing with that. Okay. I'd still surf with that. I'd surf that if I was surfing another reefy. I'd save those fins for when I'm surfing like a shallow spot.
This fin does look like it's been put down and on a car park floor without enough love.
Yeah. Okay. Sunny side up only for me with the board putting down.
Sunny side up. Okay. Hey, thanks for that, Logan.
Yeah, no worries. Hope it, Pat. I hope it makes sense.
Good luck, Pat.
Good luck, Pat.
We're going to play you some Loud and Large Men of Harlech. I'm banging the fin against my hand, getting told off by Dodd. We're going to play some Loud and Large Men of Harlech. We're going to feel patriotic. Come on, Pat.
Yeah.
Come on, do it for Cymru. And, of course, we'll update you next show. So, good luck. Good luck, Pat.
Good luck, Pat. Smash it. See you all at the Welsh.